All right, brethren, let's turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Now let's begin with a word of prayer. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're holy, that You're sovereign, that You do as You will in heaven and in earth, among all the people of this world, all the nations of this world, that You bring to pass Your will, that You accomplish that which You've purposed from eternity. And Father, we pray that You would be pleased to teach us now, that You'd send forth Christ, the great prophet, and send forth the Holy Spirit, and teach us in our heart the truth of Your Word. Give us hearts to obey it. Give us hearts to hear You. Give us hearts to taste. Give us hearts to feel, hearts to know, hearts to believe. And Lord, we pray that Christ would get all the glory, that He'd receive all preeminence, even as it's pleased You to give to Him. And we pray, Lord, that man will receive none. Forgive us, Lord, our sins right now, even as we try to worship You. And we pray You do all these things in the name of and for the sake of Christ our King, our Redeemer, our Lord and our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans 9. We're going to read verse 30 to 33. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Our subject this morning is attaining to righteousness. Attaining to righteousness. Now righteousness, you hear me speak of righteousness. It's given throughout the Scripture. Righteousness. Righteousness. Throughout the New Testament. Righteousness is a state. It's a state. It's a state. It's a state of moral perfection. That's what righteousness is. It's a state of moral perfection that's equal to and approved of by God. It's equal to God, His righteousness. It's approved of by God. Now, to enter God's presence, we have to be as righteous as God. We have to be as righteous as God, as holy, just, and good as God to enter into God's presence. There's no exceptions to that. Now, our text shows us how some sinners attained this righteousness. And it shows us how some sinners did not attain this righteousness. So, all God's people, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what their background, all God's people attain righteousness the same way, the very same way. So the way in which we're going to see these folks in our text attain righteousness, that's how all are going to attain righteousness. This is the only way we will attain righteousness. Now, I pray God will give us grace to hear God and to attain righteousness. Just one way. Just one way. Now our divisions are going to be real simple. We're going to look here at a description of how each went about to attain righteousness. And then we're going to see what the results were. And then we're going to see why that was the result. We'll see, first of all, how each went about to try to attain righteousness. And then secondly, we'll see the result. And then thirdly, we'll see why that was the result. Now, first of all, the description of what each did to attain righteousness. Now, here you have the Gentiles mentioned first. It says in verse 30, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness." Now, the Gentiles did nothing to try to attain righteousness. They did absolutely nothing to try to become righteous. In fact, the Gentile nation was totally ignorant of righteousness. They were totally ignorant of the righteousness of God. Totally ignorant. They had never had the law which God gave at Mount Sinai. You know, a lot of people don't know this. This is true. The Gentiles did not have the law that God gave at Mount Sinai, including the Ten Commandments. They did not have that law. They knew nothing about God's righteousness. In fact, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, until God sent the gospel to the Gentiles, they didn't have any of the privileges that Israel had, the nation Israel had. They didn't have those privileges. They didn't have a revelation from God. They didn't have the oracles of God, the word of God, the sacrifices, none of that. They didn't have any of that. They had nothing. They didn't have any promise from God. So they weren't trying to attain righteousness at all. Now, worse than that, they made up gods. And they made statues, and they made images and all of these things to say, these are our gods. They became idolaters in their mind first, just imagining, this is how I think God is. And then they took it out into the deed. They made images and said, these are our gods. And they engaged in all kind of vain lusts of the flesh in the process of worshiping those gods. They like to commit fornication. And so they said, we'll make that part of our worship of our God. And they killed things. They had some kind of a understanding that blood is necessary. They killed things and drank their blood. And they were idolaters. And then they were just base sinners in their everyday life. In everything they did, in their jobs and in their family, they were just lewd sinners. That's all they were. Now, here's a description of them. Turn to Ephesians 2. Here's a description that God gives of the Gentiles. Ephesians 2, verse 12. He's speaking here to Gentiles. The Ephesians were Gentiles. And he's speaking here to Gentiles, Ephesians 2, verse 12. It'll be to your right from Romans, a couple of books. He says, at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They had none of the common privileges Israel had. You were alienated from that. And strangers from the covenants of promise. You see, they had none of the promises of God. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. Now that's the description of the Gentiles. The Gentiles were totally unconcerned about righteousness. Totally unconcerned. They weren't seeking God. They weren't trying to make themselves righteous before God. They were spiritually dead sinners, totally unworthy of anything but hell and condemnation. That's the Gentiles. Who are these Gentiles? It's us. It's us. That's you and us. That's you and me, brethren. That's us. Anybody here born in Israel? That's us. It's us. All right, now, let's look at how the second group went about to attain righteousness. Verse 31 says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness. Israel, or the those born in Israel, the natural sons of Abraham. It doesn't include all the natural sons of Abraham. Neither does the Gentiles include all the Gentiles. But this is so of the multitude in Israel. God gave Israel the law at Mount Sinai. Remember, He formed this nation. It was in His purpose. He formed this nation before they ever knew anything about it. He made a promise to Abraham, said, I'm going to form this nation. I'm going to call them Israel. I'm going to bless them. That's a picture of God before the foundation of the world making a covenant with Christ Jesus the Lord and saying, I'm going to form my spiritual nation and bless them with all spiritual blessings. And they were in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. And God sent a preacher there. He sent Moses. And he preached the gospel to them. And he worked all kinds of plagues and before their eyes. And eventually he gave them a lamb, a Passover lamb. And he slew that lamb in the place of all the firstborn in Israel. And he slew all the firstborn in Egypt because they didn't have a lamb. But as for Israel, their firstborn were slain in a substitute. That's a picture of Christ coming forth, laying down His life for His people. All the elect of God are the firstborn of God in Christ the firstborn. And we died in Him so that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled. And then He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. And He brought them to Mount Sinai. And when He got up Mount Sinai, He gave them a law. He gave them a law. He gave them 600 some odd laws, including the Ten Commandments. He gave them a law. And this is what He said when He gave them this law. Now, He was speaking about when they went into the land of Canaan. He was talking about when He went into the land of Canaan, He said this, Romans 10, verse 5. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. He was telling them, when you go into this land, do this law and you'll live in that land. You will have a prosperous life in that land because everything about God's law is holy, just, and good. But there was no way ever that they could attain eternal life by this law. Never. The law wasn't given for that reason. I'll show you that in a minute. So Israel heard that. They heard that the man which do those things shall live by them. That's a true statement. The man that does those things shall live by them. That don't mean they can. That's a true statement. When you read God's Word, you have to read it that way. Because God will make a true statement to you. The man that does these things shall live by them. That does not mean you can do them. Just because it's true don't mean you can do it. And it's true, but you can't do it. All right, but they went to work trying to attain righteousness by keeping the law. They went to work doing that by the works of the law. Now, to get this now, they had a will to be righteous. They desired to be righteous. They had a will to be righteous. And they ran after that righteousness. They ran after it with everything they had. They were meticulous. They toiled. They labored. They meticulously kept the Sabbath day in their eyes, according to how they said the Sabbath day should be kept. And they paid their tithe according to how they said the tithe should be paid. They tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. And they kept the Ten Commandments according to how they said the Ten Commandments should be kept. The Ten Commandments was the rule of their life. And they had traditions of their own as well. In other words, they were doing exactly what 99% of men in Christianity are doing. What they were doing. And concerning the righteousness which is of the law, if you looked at these men, you just with your eye, you would say these are the most moral men there are. You would say these men are blameless. Outwardly, they're blameless. When somebody said righteousness, the first thought that came to a person's mind was the scribes and the Pharisees. The strictest of the bunch. They're righteous, men would think. So here we have the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, and we have Israel, which followed after righteousness. All right, now, let's see what the result was. Here's the result. Verse 30. What shall we say then? that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness. What? What? You mean those bunch of rebels attain righteousness? Well, if they attain righteousness, then surely Israel attained righteousness. These good people. Look here, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. How can that be? How could Israel, all their works, not count for something? How could all their willing and all their running not count for something? Here's why, brethren. Look back up at Romans 9 and look at verse 15. God said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Here's why their works didn't count for anything. Turn back to Romans 3. Here's why their works counted for nothing. Romans 3, verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. You mean all those people, all those sacrifices, all that law-keeping, all that labor and toil, and that's the description of them? That's the description of them. We sinned in Adam, brethren. We sinned in Adam. That's why these folks couldn't keep the law. We sinned in Adam. Look at Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death entered by sin. In Adam, by one man. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. All have sinned. What about the law that God gave at Mount Sinai? What about it? Look at Romans 3. Look at verse 19. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who was under the law? Israel was under the law. Israel was under the law. And everybody who thinks they can come to God by their works, by their obedience to the law, you're under the law. And here's what the law says to you. It speaks to everybody that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at Romans 5 and look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's why the law entered, that the offense might abound. Thankfully, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thankfully. All right, now that might be the shortest point I've ever preached, but that's it for that. Now, why was this outcome? All right, here's the Gentiles, verse 30. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. That's how come they attained this righteousness. They believed God. They believed on Christ Jesus. Now, here's Israel. Look at verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but, as it were, by the works of the law. You see, you can say you believe on Christ, but if you're still working to add anything to Christ, you don't believe Christ. You can say, I believe on Christ. I'm resting all my hope in Christ. He's all my righteousness. But if in your heart of hearts, you still think, but now I need to keep the law. Because I need to make sure, and I need to, if I'm not keeping the law, I can't be sanctified, or I can't be righteous, or whatever. I can't mature. I can't be perfected. You're not believing Christ. To believe Christ is to, I'm not saying now that the believer won't be obedient. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this. There's no legal spirit that can be mixed with this. It has to be strictly Christ is it. Christ is it. He's all. He's my righteousness. But Israel, they didn't hear this. They wouldn't hear it. They did all these works. Now listen. Are you like Israel? Here's what Israel's problem was. They've been taught all their life. wrongly taught all their life to come to God, you've got to keep the law. Have you been taught that all your life? It's no shame to let it go. It's shameful to hold on to it even though you hear it's false, you hear it's wrong, and you still hold on to it. That's shameful. But to admit, I've been taught wrong, I've been thinking wrong, I've been believing wrong, I've just been wrong. And no shame in confessing that. In fact, you got to come to Christ. And they were taught that some even taught after Christ came that it's all right to believe on Christ, but now except you be circumcised, come back under the law of Moses and keep the law, you can't be saved. And that's popular in our day. Except you keep the law now, you won't be sanctified, you won't progress in holiness if you don't keep the law. That's how you're made holy, keeping the law. That's a lie. Satan's telling that message. And if that's what you've thought, and that's what you've been taught, there's no shame to let go of that. You must let go of that. It's shame to hold on to it and not confess. Now, that's your sin. That's what's keeping you from God. It's thinking there's something you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. That's what keeps men from God. That's what keeps men from God. All right, now, here, let me show you this. Romans 10, look at verse 1. I just want to read this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They were lost as they could be. All that religion and lost. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. Very zealous. Doing a lot of great works. But it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant. What's they ignorant of? God's righteousness. You see, God's got to teach us that all these works and all this running and all this willing and all this zeal and all this stuff you see done in religion, that's not righteousness. That's not righteousness. That's not the righteousness of God. What's the righteousness of God? They're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Did you catch that now? You see, we don't do the righteousness of God. We submit unto the righteousness of God. Oh, you bow to the righteousness of God? How do you bow to moral perfection? How do you bow to that which is morally perfect as God is perfect? Here's how. Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You submit yourself to Christ. He's the moral perfection that is equal to and approved of God. And He is the righteousness that we must have. He see, He came and He, what the flesh could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is, in a believer. We believe. We believe. That's the way you attain. The Gentiles who were this corrupt people, God sent them this Word. He gave them a heart. They believe God. They believe the Word. They believe, and they submitted to Christ. He sent the same Word to Israel. Sent it to them first. They rejected it. They said, nope, we're not going to let go of our righteousnesses. And they would not, they didn't attain to the righteousness of God. They went on trying to establish their own righteousness, and they would not submit to Christ. Now, let's read on. I want to show you this. What Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. The man which doeth those things shall live by them. That, brethren, we can't be saved by any law, by any doing of our own. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Paul said, Christ died in vain. If you make yourself righteous, then Christ died in vain. That's why He came, to make His people righteous. If there could have been a law given that could have given us life, God would have gave us a law that could give us life then. But there is no law that can give you life. All a law can do is set forth the requirements and prescribe penalties for failure. That's all a law can do. Think about what a law is. That's all a law can do. It can say, here's what's required, here's the penalty if you break it. That's it. And since we fell in Adam, and we fall all along, we don't keep it. Therefore, the law can't give us life. We can't look to the law for salvation, ever. We can't ever say, well, grace has covered all my past sins, so now from here on it's up to me to keep the law now. You can't say that.
You can't say that because you fail every day. You fail every day. And a man that won't confess that, as John said, he won't confess his sins. He won't confess. You won't come to God. You're right. You think you're righteous. And therefore, you don't need Christ. Only those who can't do a thing need Christ. Read on, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, who shall bring Christ down from above? Or who's going to descend into the deep? That is, who's going to bring up Christ again from the dead? Now, here's the point of this, brethren. Listen to me. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. There's some of you sitting here now struggling with this. Listen very carefully. Faith in Christ is not some great thing that you've got to go after. It's not some great experience that you have to experience. It's not some great feeling that you must have before you can have righteousness. I read of a woman one time who came to Spurgeon and he said, do you feel like you're lost? And she goes, oh, I felt it. I felt it come across my chest one day. It went come across my chest, went down into my lungs and down into my stomach. And Spurgeon said, you might ought to go see a doctor. It's not that, brethren. It's not some great thing that's got to be reached for in the heights or in the depths, brethren. What is it then? Verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's near you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Oh, that's so good. That's the total opposite of working. Just, I believe Christ is all my righteousness. Righteous. God says, that man's righteous. He's righteous. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. You see, Christ is everything. He's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And whenever you believe on Christ with your heart, you believe he's the Son of God. And that means I believe he's the one God sent. He's the one, the only one that could fulfill the law. He's the one God would have honored for this. He's the one who came forth and totally fulfilled all righteousness. He totally fulfilled the law for me. And not only that, he went to the cross and he laid down his life and justified me from all my sins. And he's risen, and I'm risen in him. And I'm seated at God's right hand, and I'm as righteous as his own son. It can't be undone. It can't be added to. This is what I am in Christ my Lord, made the very moral perfection that God is and that God approves of. That's what I am in Christ. I've kept the whole law of God in perfect perfection in Christ my representative. That's what we believe. And then we confess it with our mouth. And the point here is just what he says there to him, that you're not ashamed to identify yourself with Christ. A person that's truly been given a heart to believe, he's not going to believe this and then stay in his closet and not let anybody know about it. The person that truly believes, this is just how grace works. This is just how the Spirit of God works. He's going to make that person confess Christ publicly and identify with Christ and his people and say, he's my hope and my salvation. He won't be ashamed to do so. And when he does so, he won't be ashamed for doing so. He won't be confounded for doing so. God will keep him and preserve him. And thou shalt be saved. You see, here's a people. They had nothing. They didn't have the law. They didn't have what men call the believer's rule of life. They never had it. Just like Enoch, just like Noah, just like Abraham. They never had it. Never had it. Like Isaac, like Jacob. They didn't have it. And yet, they had the righteousness of God. How can I be made the righteousness of a law I never even had? Believing on Christ. That ought to prove to us, brethren, the law don't have a thing in the world to do with this. Nothing. Nothing. You got a people who had it, tried to keep it, They didn't attain to righteousness. You see, unless God blesses the law to your heart and lets you hear what it says to you, the law's going to hurt you instead of helping you. Yeah. He's got to make you hear it. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And then you'll run to Christ. I pray He'll make you run to Him today. Amen. All right, brethren, it's 10:45, so we're going to take about a 15-minute break.